The rest of you can take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. We're in Acts 20, and we're going to be looking in Acts 20, verses 22 through 27 today. Acts 20, 22 through 27. As we continue our series on doing life together, and we've spent most of the summer in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, we've put a lot of emphasis and energy on what it looks like to do life together, the together part, and now we want to change the direction a little bit and focus a little more on the life, and that life that we're looking at is the Apostle Paul, and we're looking at answering one question, and I shared this with you last week and said it's going to be pretty simple as we work through this section of Scripture. What can we learn from Paul's time with the elders from Ephesus? Okay, and so he is traveling and heading back to Jerusalem, and he's going to share that with us today. And he meets them in Miletus, and he says, hey, we want to hang out together. I want to share some things with you. I want to instruct you with a little bit of direction of where my life was when I was with you. We learned that last week, that he was a humble servant. He lived in this community as a humble servant through great adversity and unwavering in the understanding and the message of God. And today, we're going to take a jump here, and we're going to see that it's not just about living life in community, but also life is done on mission. And so we're going to put a lot of emphasis on this idea of mission today, and focusing on what that looks like. Paul is just an amazing man that I think sets a great example of how we are to live as missional people in our world today. I think about our ministry, and I think about the Baptist Children's Home, and they are truly missionaries, and so many of them have sacrificed and have come and living in St. Louis, part of our church, and caring for the needs of young people. Emily is with us today, and Emily is a missionary, and there's some cards in the back about Emily, and you've just been through some training, right, Emily? And so what's the next step as a missionary? Going to the field, and when does that happen? August 30th, and she will go to the field, and so there's a picture of a missionary. But here's what I want you to catch today, is that every single one of us have really been called to be missionaries. That we've all been given a mission by God to do something. And so let's talk about missions for a minute, or the word mission. It's really this idea of to go out into the world and spread the faith. That's what God is wanting us to do. That's what we're going to see with the Apostle Paul today. We're all called to be these missionaries. And as we think about this idea of life on mission, and it's not a term that I think we necessarily use a whole lot, but I think it's a term that our church needs to grab a hold of and understand in a greater way. The mission of our church is to connect the disconnected to a growing relationship to Christ. And we do that through connecting to God, connecting to one another, and connecting others to Christ. And so understanding that our church is very missional. We're all about a mission. But in order to do life on mission, it's a calling of abandonment. It's this idea that it's not about you. It's this idea that I'm going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be Christ-centered in my lifestyle, and my whole soul and purpose in life is to make disciples. That's really, as we boil down this idea of life on mission, that's what it looks like. It's not really a specific place. And Emily, you're going where? Cambodia, but it's not necessarily a specific place. That's where God has her going right now, but she could be a missionary just as much in St. Louis or Ithaca or where at her house or wherever. It's not necessarily about a place, but it's about being intentional. When we think of missions, it's about being intentional. Life in missions is rooted in the knowledge that God is already on mission around you. Let me say that again. Life on mission is rooted in the knowledge that God is already on mission around you, and that he's put you in the place with him to really be that that source to be able to share this good news. This idea of life on mission is about intersecting the gospel intentionally with everyday routines. And so it doesn't matter if you go to work, doesn't matter if you go to school, doesn't matter if you pump a gas, doesn't matter if you're shopping at a store, doesn't matter if you're whatever it is that you're doing, this idea of life on mission is about just being intentionally, living intentionally with this amazing gospel that God has given us. And we're going to see that today with the Apostle Paul. And finally, life on mission is all about stepping out, maybe in an area that you're not super comfortable with, and taking the opportunities to connect with people that you're just naturally going to interact with. It's living a life that elevates the call of our Christian lives. It's about the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. It's about making disciples. And that's what the early church was about. The early church was passionate about this Great Commission. In fact, they didn't view the Great Commission as a choice to consider, but they saw it as a command to obey. These people were like, this is what God has called us to be and to do, and so this is what we're going to be and this is what we're going to do. But if you think about our culture today and even in our lifestyles, it's not necessarily always that way. I think so often we allow our own personal desires to smother out this idea of being mission-minded or missional. But if you remember the first thing I said about life on mission, it's a call of abandonment. It's something that we are to be willing to sacrifice and to do whatever God wants us to do, no matter the cost. And we see this in the life of the Apostle Paul here in Acts 20. He was a man on a mission, ready to change the world for the glory of God. And so what are we going to learn from him in this conversation that he's having with these elders from Ephesus? He provides this example. You know, this man was a man that wanted to destroy the church originally, and God got a hold of his life in Acts chapter 9, and he had this bright light experience, and his life was changed from Saul to Paul, and suddenly he's now focused on building up the church, encouraging the church. And you see that by this desire to see these people for one final time here in Acts 20. So let's listen to the conversation. Let's kind of view this as a conversation here in Acts 20 that Paul is having with these elders, because that's what's happening. So let's listen to this conversation here in Acts 20. And I want to start in verse 17, and let's go right on through verse 27. All right, let's read this together. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with humility and with tears and trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews." Verse 20. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Verse 24, "But I do not count my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, and I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Let's pray together before we dig in and unfold this conversation. Gracious Father, we are thankful for Paul. We are thankful for this opportunity for us to interact with your word. God, it is your word, and your word is powerful to change the lives of people. And God, I pray that this morning, as we work down through this passage of Scripture, that the hearts and the minds would be prepared for what is about ready to be spoken. And that, God, the focus is not on the words that I am speaking, but it is your words that are written in this great book. And so, God, prepare our hearts and our minds. Help us to see what Paul is trying to teach. Help us to follow in some of these examples of his own life. Help us to be missional. Help us to be on mission every single day of our lives. Again, God, this is for you and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we see in this text, right off the bat in verse 22, if you draw your attention back to that, what we see in this text is that Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, we're not positive why he's there. Different people that I read this week would point to, he probably went around to different churches in his missionary journeys, and he was collecting an offering. And he was collecting this offering, and he was on his way to the church in Jerusalem, and he was going to give this offering to those people or to that church when he got there. But what's also revealed in our text here this morning is that in verse 22, he was constrained, or he was bound by the Spirit, the text says. And so there was this limitations. Like, Paul didn't feel like he had an option in ultimately going. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's bound by the Holy Spirit. And he's questioning exactly what he's going to face. We see that in 22, he says he's not sure what's going to happen to him there, except that the Holy Spirit has revealed that he's going to be in prison and afflicted, it says towards the end of verse 23. I find that interesting. I'm going to elaborate on it a little bit more, but he doesn't know what's going to happen, and yet he explains what's going to happen with the imprisonment and the affliction. Then in 24, it's revealed to us that the Apostle Paul values the opportunity to finish the course more than his own life. That he is, and I think if you're one of those people that don't really pay attention to me on a Sunday morning, and you kind of zone me out at times, if nothing else, and if I would have had maybe more time, and I would have been, I probably would have elevated 24 in a greater light today, but I didn't. I'm going a different direction. But man, 24 is a very powerful piece of scripture for us to grab a hold of. Because again, the Apostle Paul was like, it's not about my life. The Apostle Paul's saying, it's not about my life, but it's about the gospel. It's about finishing the course that was set before him, that Jesus gave to him in Acts 9, to share this good news, this gospelness of the grace of God, as it says at the end of 24. And that is a great picture of self-denial. That is a great picture of sacrifice. That is a great picture of Paul committed to finishing ultimately what he started. More than likely, this is going to be a hostile environment based on what we can see here in the text, what we're going to look at in chapter 21 today. Hostile to the point that he says there in 25 that he's not going to return to see those people that he shared this kingdom with. That he's not going to see their faces again at the end of 25. The Spirit testifies of this imprisonment and affliction. But Paul was excited. Paul wanted to get there. Paul wanted to be a part of this journey that God had him on. And he really wanted to go share this power, this word that would change the lives of people. And so he concludes this section with a statement in verse 26. That he says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. And what that statement reveals is that the Apostle Paul, man, he proclaimed the good news of Christ to the people that God set before him. And outside of that, it was their responsibility. It was up to them from that point on to be able to ultimately believe in this gospel that he was presenting, in this power of Christ in his life. And it was Paul that did not shrink back, as it says in 27, of declaring this entire counsel of God. What I find interesting about this passage is the action that's involved. There's action that's involved with the Apostle Paul. He's on his way to Jerusalem, the text says. He's bound and will face these afflictions. He's giving up his life for the sake of the gospel. There's lots of action. There's willingness on his part. He's willing to share all of God no matter the cost. And I think that's the transitional piece for me as I look at Paul and as I look at the things that are happening here in this passage of Scripture. This man was taking action based on the gospel of Christ, was taking action based on the redemptive power of the Scriptures and the redemptive power of the whole counsel of God. And that he didn't shrink back from that, and that he was passionate about that. And I wrestle with that, thinking of that in my own life, and asking myself the question, do I take action? Am I this guy that's willing to do whatever it takes for the gospel of Christ? And then I carry that over and I spill that over to your lives and I ask you that question, are you willing to do whatever it takes for the gospel of Christ? Or are we satisfied with where we're at in our missional journey that God has us on? See, Paul's life was missional. Everything he did was a life that was done on mission. And I think that Paul sets an amazing example for the elders of the people of Ephesus. I'm not going to see you guys again, so I want to set an example for you of what it looks like to be these missional people. I want to set an example of what it looks like that this church in Ephesus needs to continue to do in even though I'm no longer there. And so Paul's doing life together with these men on a mission. On a mission to Jerusalem, but he's also on a mission to grow the church, to impact the kingdom, to give glory to his heavenly Father. And so what we see from this text, and let me get you into your bulletins because I know there's many note takers that are like, man, Pastor, could you put more stuff on the PowerPoint for me? But here we go. Let's get into it. See, life is done on mission according to this passage of Scripture through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit. In different versions, it's going to say different things. Constrained by the Spirit, bound in the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit. There's three different ways that it is stated. What does this mean that he was constrained by the Spirit or bound by the Spirit or compelled by the Spirit? He had no other options. There were no other options for him. It was almost as if there were these boundaries or guardrails that existed. Have you ever been on a road where there are these orange barrels on one side and there's the metal or the concrete barriers on the other side and there's only one option? Have you ever been on one of those roads? Any of you live in Michigan? Anybody ever travel through Pennsylvania? But there was only one way to go. There was only one option. And it wasn't like the Holy Spirit was smothering Paul or wrestled Paul to the ground and bound him up and said, hey, this is what Paul just had no other options in this process. It was the Holy Spirit that was leading and directing and guiding him. These boundaries, these guardrails. He was being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And I think of Romans 8 with that statement. He was being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so you could jot down Romans 8 and peruse that later. He was sensitive to what the Spirit wanted. He didn't know what would happen, the text says. Remember, I read that. He said he wouldn't know what would happen, but he knew that he would be imprisoned and afflicted. And as I look at that, I almost think that when he realizes that he would go in prison and that there would be these turmoil that he would face, this affliction that he would face, I almost think that Paul just saw that as natural for his life. That this is just what happens to me. You know what? This isn't no surprise. When I found out from the Holy Spirit that this was going to happen to me, I wasn't surprised. But I think the question mark for Paul is this my final life? Is this where it's going to end? Am I going to die? Am I going to Jerusalem and ultimately my life will be over? I think that's why he says in verse 25 that you probably won't see my face again. Because there was uncertainty of the severity that he was going to face as he went to Jerusalem in proclaiming this good news of Christ. He was accepting of what the Spirit would do. Because it wasn't about Paul. It was about the gospel. And he didn't care if God had him down a one-way road to destruction, again, in the minds of our human thinking. He didn't care if he was on this one-way road to this hornet's nest and to this struggle that he was going to... He didn't care because he knew that he had the opportunity to share the good news of Christ with people. He was so in tune and connected with the Spirit that he put his trust and faith in the leading of the Spirit and knew that whatever was going to happen, that God was going to be glorified. There's power in when we allow the Spirit to lead us. See, life is done on mission through the leading of the Spirit, but it's also done on mission through the calling of Christ. And we see that in Acts 20, 24b. And if you look at that with me again, it's coming off from that. He just wanted to finish the course. He just wanted to communicate this truth in this ministry that he says that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. See, when Acts 9 happened in the Apostle Paul's life or Saul's life, there was a transformation that took place. And it was Jesus that said, Saul, I have a job for you to do. I have a mission for you to fulfill. The Apostle Paul was shocked and overwhelmed by that message, but he knew, and at that point he submitted to whatever God wanted, and he goes and he's blind and he accepts that. And then his sight has been given, and then he commits the rest of his life to disciple making for the Lord Jesus Christ. This call of Paul's life was to testify to the gospel, our text says, towards the end of 24. It was of the grace of God. It was to proclaim this good news. But it was also to reveal and to proclaim the kingdom of God. Because if we go into 25, he says, And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. And so it was about a gospel message. It was about a kingdom message. It wasn't about a worldly message. It wasn't about trying to save the world and to make sure that the world was a great place to live. You know, as I'm working through this passage of Scripture, and I try to be very cautious about getting too involved in the too involved in the politics of our world, and yet it's hard not to, and it's hard not to want to stand for what we believe is right. But I'm going to tell you right now, the things that you see on the news, what people are fighting for and attempting to proclaim through protests, is not what God desires. This fight and this white lives, black lives, police officer, because that's not kingdom thinking. That's earthly thinking. That's American thinking. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, and I think, man, I wonder what he would protest for. I wonder what he would stand up for. What's the answer? What would he stand up for? God. He would stand up for the gospel. He would stand up for the truth that it would be proclaimed. He would fight for what God wanted and not what I want or what my neighbor wants or what my wife wants or what my kids want. What we should be fighting for. What we should be fighting for is the gospel of Christ. We should be missional. We should be driven to be gospel-centered people. This last week, if you took the opportunity to work through the fertilizer, you would have studied Ephesians chapter 4, and in that passage of Scripture, the first three verses, I think, are very powerful and speak to this. Because in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Well, what is this worthy manner? What should this look like? In verse 2, it says, With all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, what God is calling us to be in this missional mindedness is we are to be rallying around people and intentionally being with people to allow the gospel to pour or ooze from us to impact the rest of the world. That is that call of Christ, and that is a missional mindset. The Spirit's leading, Christ has commanded and given us this call, and that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. And that's what let this guy be on track. He was on track because he was sensitive to the Spirit, and he understood the responsibility that Jesus had given him. Third, life is done on mission through the leading of the Spirit, through the call of Christ, but also through the message of God. Through the message of God. See, God is the subject of the mission. And if you are on mission in life and you're not sure why you're on mission or what you're doing with the mission, I'm here to challenge you to say, God must be the subject of our mission and everything that happens in our lives. See, our lives in the mission is all about His purpose, is what our text reveals to us. Again, therefore I testify to you this day, verse 26, that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He says that another time previously in our passage of Scripture here. in verse 20, and I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable teaching in public of the house, in houses to houses, testifying about God. So Paul was very passionate about the message of God. That's what he was fighting for. That's what he was standing for. He didn't shrink back. He wasn't afraid to share that good news with other people. Our lives and the mission are all about the counsel, the purpose, the counsel, very similar in thought. So what is this whole counsel of God that it's referring to? It's God's purpose in the history for redemption. See, from the front of your Bibles to the back of your Bibles, there is a beautiful picture and example of what redemption looks like. And there's this beautiful picture of how God orchestrates people in certain situations to ultimately point to His Son, Jesus Christ, so that people would believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, and that so people would have an intimate relationship and connection with His Lord Jesus Christ. And that He would, that for eternity there would be this kingdom that would reign forever. And from the front to the back, this is this idea of the whole counsel of God. It's human origin or fall, redemption, and destiny. It's everything that is written here in this book. It is the biblical authority by which we are to live by. It is the worldview, the biblical worldview that we are to function and make decisions in our life. That is the whole counsel of God. And yet, so many of us, I think, often like to pick and choose and say, this fits my life. Well, that part really doesn't. This fits my life and that fits my life, but I don't really like how that's worded, and so I'm not going to really pay attention to that one. See, that's not the whole counsel of God. And for the Apostle Paul, he was committed to its entirety. This church is committed to its entirety. We want to preach from the front to the back, and we want to help you to understand all and everything about God. We want to help you to understand the promises of the transforming power, both in this life and the life to come. We want you to see that. See, His purpose and counsel all hinged on the gospel and its redemptive power. That's what Paul was believing in and very passionate about. See, there's no other message in our world that will change the world. There's no other message in our world that will change the world but this one right here. This redemptive power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that we could be striving and working towards these things to make us happy and to give us all these warm fuzzies that we long to have as people. And yet the only thing that's really going to transform me and change me is this right here in this message that God has given. See, the gospel just doesn't set us free from sin, but it changes us that sin no longer has to reign in us. Let me say that again. The gospel doesn't just free us from sin, but it changes us so that sin no longer has to reign in us. How awesome would it be if sin didn't have power over us anymore, everybody? Amen? I mean, no. How many of you sinned this last week? Raise your hand. Right? Yeah. Deb, you didn't raise your hand. Tim, what do you think? Was she good this week? Tim, don't answer that. All right. Hey, so the gospel... The gospel is the starting point, the sustaining point, and the finishing point of all missions and for all of life. See, everybody, I think the problem that sometimes we have with our missional mindedness, and we look at these and say, oh yeah, I can be led by the Spirit, and I get my call of Christ, and I think the message of God is powerful. Sometimes I think that the area that we really fail at is that message of God. And it's why it's number one in our process over there, that connecting to God. I think we miss our opportunities to connect with God on a daily basis. And I think we get caught up in our world so much that we miss this opportunity to really know and be intimate with God, so it just naturally pours out of us. You see, for the Apostle Paul, he didn't shrink back. How many things in our lives do we get all fired up and mad about and just kind of kick and scream and say, oh, forget this, I'm not going to deal with those people anymore, and you just kind of walk away, whatever the situation is. I just quit. For the Apostle Paul, there was no quit in this man. It was his passion and desire to finish the course of the ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, verse 24. No matter the cost. But you see, folks, I think if we're going to really do life on mission like Paul, and if we're going to really be challenged by this, I think there are three components that we need to grasp from this text. I think this is great information, but I think there's some real intention that God has for us in our lives. And so here's really the point. I think it comes down to this. We need to be a people that go where the Spirit leads. We need to be a people that goes where the Spirit leads. And so are we sensitive to what the Spirit wants for us and in our lives? I think of Emily in her desires to be a missionary in another country. She has to be sensitive to the Spirit in her life. Otherwise, there is going to be a lot of chaos and turmoil that goes on. I think of my daughter Brooke making the decision to go to Boyce, and she had to be sensitive to the Spirit. And well, in making those decisions, is it Cedarville? Is it Clark Summit University? Is it Boyce? Is it Cornerstone? And you have all of these decisions to make. She had to be sensitive to the Spirit. I couldn't tell her, this is the place that you have to go. You have to be sensitive to what God has for you. I think there are many of us who are in professions today only because we need to make a dollar instead of really being sensitive to what God wants for us and the Holy Spirit wants for us. So let me ask you this question. What is it that prevents people from doing this? What prevents people from being going where the Spirit leads? What in our culture and in our world prevents us from allowing this to happen? Fear? Who said that? Thank you. Fear is definitely one of those things. What else? What prevents us? And really, coming to the fear one, it's really a lack of trust, right, of God? I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that what Romans 8 tells us? If God is for us, so why are we afraid? But that's good, though. I'm not criticizing. Good. What else? What prevents us from going where the Spirit leads? Acceptance of others. They're not going to approve of this decision, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. Confusion. Boy, I just don't know. Is this right? Is this wrong? And how often in that confusion process do we go running to other people and trying to figure out if this is what we're supposed to do or not to do instead of running to the whole counsel of God, right? This is our answer, really, to it all. If the Spirit is working in us, we need to run to this. It's great to have other people in our corners and helping us to understand what the Spirit may be doing in our lives, but relying on Him. Any more? We've got a couple more. What? Not seeking God. Just, I'm not in tune with Him. Good. One more? What? Our own glory. It's about us, our attention, our pride. Excellent. Jeff, you're the last one. Bitterness. Could you expound a little bit? Okay. Yeah, I'm just bitter. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Yeah, and so now I'm not going to be sensitive. All right, here's another one. Again, coming right from this text, as we look at the Apostle Paul and the things that he did, value the gospel more than yourselves. Value the gospel more than yourselves. Again, that's that verse 24 here in our text. So what prevents us from valuing ourselves more than the gospel? Selfishness. I knew that one was going to be top on the list, and we could end right there. What else? What are some other things that prevent us from viewing ourselves more valuable maybe than the gospel? Fear. Another one. Sin. Not as fun? How about your ignorance towards the gospel? How about your ignorance towards the gospel? My ignorance towards the gospel. We are people that are ignorant, I think, of the gospel. There's some things coming down the pike for First Baptist Church that I'm very excited about, that Pastor Derek's been working on, that I think is going to help us to become more aware of the power of the gospel. And when we become more aware of the power of the gospel, it becomes natural then for us to share the gospel with other people. And we become very missional because we've got this information about this great God that came and died for our sins and was raised from the dead that we can share with other people and totally transform their lives. A powerful, powerful message. Lastly, proclaim, and I missed the whole, okay? So maybe add that in your bulletin. Proclaim the whole counsel of God. From front to back. And I think about this one, and you can process through. I'm not going to necessarily ask you to answer this with the question of what prevents people from doing these things. I just want to give this answer, because sometimes we don't like something that God has to say in His Word, and so we're going to ignore it. That's a lot of times why we struggle so much with proclaiming the whole counsel of God. And so when we look at the Apostle Paul and his journey here, and he is very missional, and I long for our church to be missional people. I long for our church to be these people that are just naturally sharing the gospel with anyone that is around us. That's just pouring, it's just kind of oozing, people rub on our arm, and they get a little gospel on them. That's what I'm longing for our church to be, is those missional-minded people. Don't let the missionaries, we pay them to do the job. No, that's not what we want. We want all of us to be on the mission field for God, for His glory, for making disciples. We want to follow in the example that Paul has laid out for us. And so here's where we go from here. The what now? The first thing is, be a servant of the Spirit. Folks, you have been called for something greater than what you just methodically do in your day-to-day. You have been called to do something supernatural for God. You are a servant of the Most High. Again, I challenge you to go through and read Romans 8. Romans 8 would be just a great passage to chew on and to think about. I probably should have done it for our fertilizer this week, but I didn't. But it is just a great picture. You are called and are somebody greater than what you give yourself credit for. You are truly a servant of the Holy Spirit, servant of our Most High Father. Father God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so be those people that are servants. Secondly, be a student of the gospel. Again, we're going to give you opportunities to be that, to be reminded of that as we work through some growth group stuff in the months to come. But be a student of the gospel. Allow the gospel to just penetrate your lives. Let it motivate you to be a person that just naturally shares and loves to share with other people. And lastly, be a speaker of truth. Be a speaker of truth. You are going to have an opportunity this week. And I'm going to pray for this for you this when I finish up here. And I want you to pray this prayer too. I want you to ask God to give you an opportunity to be a speaker of truth this week. To allow somebody to come into your life where you have an opportunity to just pour into the lives of people the truth about God. And hopefully that gospel is going to motivate that and understand that, and that Spirit's going to be working on you. And when that just naturally happens, the truth is going to come from your mouth, and you're going to see someone's life change for the glory and for the honor and for the kingdom of God. Be those people that believes that the Spirit is there, that believes the gospel is powerful, and that you just naturally proclaim it to the rest of the world. Let's pray together.